back to 1978, I believe, ladies and gentlemen. Are you kidding me? Boston. One of the best studio albums you're ever going to hear. Or at least it was in 1978.
Yeah, let's say within those confines.
At least it was in your 8-track player with the T-tops open.
Man, oh my
you
goodness,
are old, Paul,
that was the best right there.
I remember dad having an 8-track.
My brother Craig actually bought a Trans Am with the 403 in it, ladies and gentlemen.
Don't call it a Hemi, Wolf, like you did before.
I'm not gonna do it, Paul.
Wolf's the only guy who puts a Hemi into a Pontiac. Proceed.
Are you kidding me? That was
awesome,
with Bose speakers in the back.
Paul, we have to correct you terribly because, remember, Wolf would never put a Hemi into a Pontiac because Wolf would never do any kind of car mechanics.
That's true.
Remember the more famous moment in the history of the Duncan Wolf Show, flat tire for Wolf.
Yeah.
He calls the beautiful Miss Stephanie to take care of it.
The Warrior Queen going to handle that in a flash.
That's right.
Gentlemen.
She'll change out that engine for you, put in a new tranny as well.
So Von Miller says he's going to kick this team's butt. We're going to, hey, put that down. We're going to kick their butt. You can imagine that, obviously, the Cardinals had a big meeting. Let's say we don't have a reaction because we don't believe in bulletin board.
I didn't see it. I heard about it. And if we need that to get us motivated to play a football game, being 1-5 right now, we're in trouble. So I really don't take a lot into what he said.
I don't believe in bulletin board. God. David Johnson.
No. I believe in things that has to do with our team, things that has to do with the running back group, and, you know, things that have to do with us getting better.
They're handling it the right way, but come on.
Okay,
somebody said it publicly. This is what they're going to do to you.
Yeah, now, what they were thinking.
You feel it.
Because I was standing in front of those lockers, and there were thought bubbles. If you really look closely, there was a thought bubble above Steve Wilkes' head and above David Johnson's head. And it said something like this. Let me get this straight here, Von Miller. You're historically bad at stopping the run, and you're running your mouth? So they were a bit incredulous, just based on the thought bubbles that I saw.
I thought the thought bubbles said thank you. I'm being totally serious.
Yeah, you know what?
I think it was thank you.
Hey, if Corey Peters is talking after the game in Minnesota, and there he was, and we heard some of the comments, but there was also a comment where he paused. He said, do enough guys care? Well, guess what? This might ensure a little extra buy-in.
Does that scare you? I mean, can you imagine if you've got a leader saying, do enough guys care, a week ago, but now you come out and play on fire because Von Miller calls you out? That's kind of...
What Corey Peters said right now is way more condemning than what Von Miller said. Way more condemning. You got a guy like Corey Peters who is a pro's pro, a guy that's going to go about his business in the correct way, and a guy that is producing to the level in which Corey Peters produces. He walks up to you and says, do you care? Well, let me tell you right now, that is way more impactful than what Von Miller said. Now, having said that, again, listen, there's two types of people that are in that Arizona Cardinals locker room. Internally motivated and externally motivated people. Two types of people. All right. The internally, they don't need that. They don't need Von Miller to come out and say what Von Miller said. They don't need that to do their job. They're going to line up and they're going to play the game the way they always do or try to. The externally motivated people, and they're all out there in every locker room, I don't care where in life, as Doug Lee said, there's externally motivated people that need you to say, we're going to kick your donkey, right? You need people to say that to get you to do your job. And there are people in that locker room that now are going to be focused and have concentration and a modicum bit more of intensity. It's the reason why Bill Belichick cannot tolerate and cannot stand any type of distraction going into a game, especially if it's self-inflicted.
I know the answer for Paul, for Maloney, for Bear, for myself, but for some reason I feel the need to ask you this question after you said kick your donkey, and that is, have you or a member of your family ever owned a donkey?
No.
Okay. I just wondered. I just could see that answer being yes.
And what Corey Peters...
My sister owns a donkey. She owns horses, though.
Yeah. Okay.
I mean,
yeah.
Along with like 500 head of cattle out there, right?
Right.
You know, which I not only... Well, I smelled them before I saw them when we went out to Rushford, by the way.
All right, now.
What Corey Peters really meant, and he was referring to specifically, was the same guys on film making the same mistakes. How can you sit there in the film room week after week, and you're making the same mistake.
Week six.
You know,
there can only be one conclusion. Right,
take enough pride in your own job performance, in your own responsibilities. That's what he meant. You know, so when Von Miller says,
"We're going to go out there and we're going to kick the ass." Right. This is the way I'm feeling. Yeah. Make sure you put that up there. Okay. We're going to kick the ass.
Yeah, that's cool. I mean, you know, but that's low hanging fruit right there. You know, you're going against a Cardinals team with a rookie quarterback. They're 1-5. He wasn't popping off against the Rams. And Jared Goff, the all-world quarterback, and Todd Gurley last week. I didn't hear him pop off. I don't think he's going to pop off against Patrick Mahomes in Kansas City when they play the Chiefs next week.
What's your point, Baller?
That I don't have a whole bunch of respect for Von Miller when he says this, you know, based on the opponent right now and the way they're struggling on offense to begin with.
We're going to go out there and we're going to kick the ass. This is the way I'm feeling. Make sure you put that up there. We're going to kick the ass.
Yeah. Doesn't he seem like he's, you know what I mean? Like he's shaking. This is not Von Miller. Yeah, Douglas, you were talking about this yesterday, right? That this is not Von Miller.
The way the Denver media has reacted to this is more interesting than even the comments of saying he never talks like this. And when you said that earlier this morning about a shaky voice, it is interesting as if Von Miller is thinking, do I really want to go here?
Yes.
You know, because I think he's so clearly talking to his team and not the Cardinals that therefore he's nervous of knowing this is all I need to be doing. What if I find out the answer? You know the old line, do not ask a question you don't know the answer to.
No.
I think he's worried as he says this, who's going to respond more strongly, the Cardinals or my teammates?
Exactly, and not only that, too, but the media standing around him literally asked him, you seem upset.
Yes,
irritable.
Yeah.
That's how they knew something was wrong here with Von Miller, right?
How has the Denver media reacted? What would you get from Schlereth and his partner there in the last segment? Because, you know,
they totally believed he's talking to the Broncos and not talking to the Cardinals. But I think they actually represented the coaches without trying to. If you'll know what Paul's referring to, earlier this morning we did a simulcast with Schlereth and Evans, the show in 104.3, The Fan in Denver. And I think even their coaches are wondering what those two wondered, and that is, how are Von Miller's comments playing in Arizona?
Mm-hmm.
I think they really care about that aspect because I don't think any of them believe he's actually calling out the Cardinals. I think everybody in Denver believes he's calling out the Broncos.
I totally agree with that, though. I think he is. He's calling out himself, and he's calling out the Denver Broncos. You're talking trash. It's what you do. I cannot tell you how many times in a football game I would start talking trash when I knew I didn't have it. Because you challenged yourself. You were like, you're going to get killed out here. You better start doing something because you're going to have to back it up if you start flapping your gums, right?
So is that what happens when you get mad at me?
No. It's what you do out of desperation. This was an act of desperation Von Miller.
When they have the ISO cam on Von, a number 58 tonight, I'm going to have half an eye on Jermaine Gresham. Because if Gresham's going to be the guy chipping Von Miller, he's going to be trying to finish that block, and then he'll spice it up with a little punctuation, a little verbal warfare as well. Nobody brings it as like Jermaine Gresham. I wonder how amped up he's going to be tonight.
Mm-hmm. Paul already mentioned it. The big winner is Fox. It's not really the Broncos or the Cardinals. Join Kevin McCabe and AZ Preps Live this Saturday from 9 to 11 at the Chick-fil-A off the 17 and the 101 in Deer Valley. You'll have the chance to win free Chick-fil-A for a year, Suns and Coyotes tickets, and more. Visit the events page at arizonasports.com for details on the Chick-fil-A High School Roadshow Series. Coming up next, the Suns opened their season last night with a win. And what did we see from DeAndre Ayton? Or should we be looking at the rest of the Suns? That's next on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
Time to take a look at the Arizona Sports Poll Question. Brought to you by Sanderson Ford. The best play is at Sanderson Ford.
Boy, we got a lot on the table today. We still got a lot more coming for you for the next hour and 45 minutes with Max Starks. I was thinking about Herm Edwards in the game. With Maximum Football starting in 15 minutes. Maloney, what's today's question?
After Wednesday's win over the Mavericks, how confident are you in the Suns this season? 61% say 10, 26% say 4 to 6, 8% 7 to 9, 5% 1 to 3.
Is this like a scale of 1 to 10, how confident you are? Is that what those
are? Yeah.
Okay. Boy.
Well, it was kind of hard to follow that right there.
Confident in what? Because that's such a broad question. Confident in what? Playoffs? Are we talking about playoffs?
Yeah, no.
Are you confident in exactly what Tim Kempton said yesterday in our Suns roundtable, which is, are you confident in them being competitive in almost every game? I mean, nobody's competitive. Even the Warriors aren't going to be competitive in 82 straight games.
Yeah.
You're going to screw up. But, yeah, I would give you a 10 that I'm confident that this team is going to fight like crazy in almost every game. But I'm still not confident in playoffs. But I don't think it's just the most asinine idea ever to say you think they might be able to fight for an 8 seed. But I still think there's too many people above them.
Yeah, I'll believe that when I see it. This is about DeAndre Ayton and the development of DeAndre Ayton and Devin Booker, of course, and Josh Jackson, in my opinion, together as a team, as a young big three. And, yeah, I don't want to – I'm not trying to discredit T.J. Warren at all, who played very, very well, as a matter of fact, or anybody else for that matter. But, again, deep down inside, I want to see those three develop a little bit of chemistry going forward, right? Listen, Josh Jackson and the way Josh Jackson played last night, I loved what I saw a lot of Josh Jackson. I don't know about you, Douglas. I saw somebody that was giving a lot of intensity and effort, bringing intensity to the floor. I loved his mid-range jumper, right? The fact that he shot the three much better. His intensity was evident. He was active on the defensive end of the floor, especially on the perimeter, like we've been dying to see him.
Last year, Josh Jackson, well below expectations for much of the beginning of the season. And we'll never forget Jay Triano coming on this show and telling us about a conversation saying, "I don't trust you." That he said that specifically to Josh Jackson. "You want to know why you're not playing? I don't trust you."
Wow.
And then Josh Jackson completely sat out a game. And then not only did he start playing better, but Jay Triano will admit this to you. He kind of stumbled into it and then really liked it. Because of foul trouble, he started having Josh Jackson guard fours and fives in one game. They had to. And because of the fear of embarrassment, I think, because of the fear of, oh my gosh, this guy's so much stronger than me, Josh Jackson brought an intensity that he hadn't brought before just to kind of keep up with the fours and fives. Other than those few little moments like that, I don't know what
you reacted to that like you actually played it.
Yeah, no.
Look.
Whenever you hear something, it's just stupid ESPN.com. Wake up, guys.
Right.
Quit firing crap. But anyway, it's something that he hasn't had that intensity all the time. What I was thrilled with last night is he wasn't guarding a four or a five. It wasn't kind of a forced intensity or something somebody else brought out of him. It looked like it was an intensity of, I need to keep up with my surroundings the way everybody else is playing. And that means it was internal. It was good to see.
Okay, look, can I talk to DeAndre Ayton for a second here? Do you mind if I do that, Douglas?
Do you think he listens?
Coming into this game, it really didn't matter the whole DeAndre Ayton, Luka Doncic thing, right? I mean, honestly, it didn't matter. I don't care if the NBA scheduled it as a showdown. You were not playing Luka Doncic, DeAndre Ayton. But man, you whipped his butt. Yeah! One game, okay? That's what I wanted to say there. And I loved the overall performance of DeAndre Ayton. There's no doubt about it, right? Very, very impressed. But right now, yesterday I was talking about DeAndre Ayton and how he would compete, right? Not the what of it, how many boards he had, how many points he had, but how? What did that look like? How did he score those points? How did he get the rebounds? So can I just say this, if I have to nitpick, set a screen if you're going to set a screen. That's number one. All right, I realize, I understand the moving screen and the fact that you're just trying to give a little space to anybody. Just, to me, set a screen. There's a screen, and then there isn't a screen. When the shot goes up, don't stand there flat-footed with your arms down. Don't stand there flat-footed. Please spread the legs, spread the feet, get a base underneath you, and get ready for rippage. How about that? Is that okay if I say that? Be more decisive around the net. Be intentional, bruh. And oh, by the way, when Luka Doncic drives to the hoop on the
that
break.
That would bother
did
me.
You
yes,
see it?
Yes.
And it's just you and
yes.
him on my 75-inch screen, and you have one foul, just one in the game. Don't let him just get a layup on you where you don't even contest the shot. Don't ever do that again, man. Please, you're breaking my heart.
Yes, yes.
Somebody's got to go down on that play.
That bothered me. I remember that play so vividly, and I'm thinking,
with the left,
put him down. You know, I mean, as soon as I saw that, it was
with the left hand,
and then I'm thinking, oh my gosh, thank goodness McKenna's in bed. I mean, I was so, that was the only night, that was the only part all night that I wasn't smiling and giddy.
That was
about
it.
The Suns was.
You're
that
right.
Play, and it shouldn't have mattered that it was Doncic, but I admit it did.
Look,
I said, this is your paint. No one goes in there. Either knock him down and foul him, or block the shot. I don't care which one.
I'm so glad you remember.
That was Matador play. Defense right there.
What? Didn't even contest it.
DeAndre
open
set a tone.
Door.
And listen, DeAndre, and you know this, DeAndre. I think you're smart enough to know it, and all of your coaches are smart enough to know it. You were fantastic. You were fantastic. Your rookie debut was amazing. Two things. A, so what? Raise the bar. Do it again. Number two, don't ever let that happen again. I love how you enjoyed the moment. I love how you had a good time. I want you to have a good time. I really, really do.
Just get a base under you, too. The shot goes up. You don't even have to raise your arms. Just get a base.
But when they come underneath, hit someone.
Either my shot wasn't falling, I had fun playing with these guys today. It was fun playing with.
Good. I'm glad. I mean, I have nothing wrong with anything because you competed through the most part of the game. You smiled when it was okay to smile. Everything was great. But on that one play, that's a window to your soul right there. When somebody is coming down on the break and you are your size and Doncic has not done a sit-up. And
nobody else in the picture.
Yes. Doncic obviously is allergic to crunches. I mean, you could have crunched him. And then, no, no, here you go. No, put him down.
Wow.
I didn't realize I had that much anger over that play, but I did.
That was the only play where I stood up a little.
What are you doing? Yeah. You know how many rookies dream of only having one mistake in their rookie debut? Okay. Great job, DeAndre. But that says this is who I am. That play says this is who I am for that one game. Doesn't have to say it for the future. Change it. Take somebody down in Denver. Of course, I don't know if you can handle the altitude. It'll be a little tough. Wells Fargo Fiesta Bowl Par 3 Challenge presented by Kadima Ventures is teeing up November 1st and 2nd at Mountain Shadows. Compete for prizes on every hole and even $1 million. Everyone wins because all proceeds support Fiesta Bowl charities. Book your foursome at fiestabowl.org. Super Bowl champion Max Starks is going to take a look at Cardinals Broncos, and he'll give you two things, the do's and the don'ts for the Cardinals offense. It's coming up on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
Noon.
Woo!
98.7 FM, Arizona's Sports Station. He played tackle in the NFL for more than a decade. Max Starks. Max Starks. Maximum football. Maximum football. With Doug and Wolf.
Please welcome, from the University of Florida, tackle Max Starks.
Okay, you got 45 minutes of football with Max Starks, Super Bowl winning offensive lineman of the Pittsburgh Steelers. But come on, we do have to ask the first question. As the former Orlando Magic ball boy in your youth, you want a round of applause for DeAndre Ayton? Were you impressed with DeAndre Ayton?
I thought he did a good job.
All right.
I thought he did a good job. That was a nice debut for him. And
he beat Doncic.
And he beat Luka Doncic,
yeah.
Which is always a good thing. I just can't wait for the Mo Bamba game. That's the one I'm waiting for.
Bamba looked pretty good last night.
Yeah.
That's good. How you doing?
I'm doing good.
Good.
I'm doing good. We're here 15 minutes later than normal,
yes.
But I'm here. And, you know, I'm glad that everybody's safe. And definitely to the family, whoever that was on Shea that had that bad accident.
Mm.
I wish them the best because that was not nice at all.
That's nice of you. No easy way to transition from that, but I always want you to do something like that. That's cool of you. I love this phrase. This is what Maloney told us about your beautiful part of the program for Maximum Football. You're staring down Mike McCoy. You're looking at David Johnson, the O-line. You're looking at the receivers. You've got do's and don'ts,
yes,
for the Cardinals offense tonight at State Farm Stadium against the Broncos. What's a do? Give me a do.
One do is pound the rock out of 21 personnel. Take advantage of your bunch sets. I want you to run double. I want you to run wham. I want you to run anything that is going to put double teams in pressure on this front seven. Because
It sounds like in a north-south way.
Yeah, north-south, yes. Is the way you want it to be. I don't want toss truck. I don't want alley toss plays. Truck. No, I don't want that. I want you between the tackle boxes, or I'll even give you to the tight end box. If you can go between there and go there often and have confidence in going there out of different formations, but get there, that's where the success is going to be tonight.
Even if there's no success, keep going.
Yes, because here's the thing. It's a war of attrition when you run the football. You have to pound, 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 and then there's a crack. A crack leads to a crumble, and a crumble leads to decimation. And
crevice.
That's what you have to do.
Yes. You know what, honestly, stop and think about it too, though. You know the Denver Broncos? They're going to do the exact same thing, Max.
Exactly.
They love 21 personnel. They love it with Andy Janovich, their fullback, right? Just the way the 49ers were able to use 21 personnel with Kyle Juszczyk so adroitly. I'm telling you right now, Denver's going to do the exact same thing.
Yeah, it's going to look like a game of mirror images because the way that we look at both of the defenses that are going to be playing tonight – they're both the same thing. They've both given up those plays. They've shown a lack of discipline when it comes to run keys. And why wouldn't I not take advantage of that? Hmm. Because, you know, Wolf, you know this. What you show on tape, it takes a month, four games to erase from an actual successful stoppage, which neither team has. So this is the first game that you're going to have to prove it. And you still got 3 more weeks to back it up before they say, you know what, we need to try something else. Let's scrap this game plan.
You both said it, and I love it. We get tweets from listeners a lot that always want to dive deeper into their own football knowledge. So you guys were talking about 21 personnel, so two backs and a tight end. So you're looking at fullbacks tonight for both teams because you mentioned 21 personnel for both of them. Give me a don't. You said do's and don'ts. What's a don't for this Cardinals offense?
Do not throw the ball over 20 times this game.
20? That's a low number in modern NFL.
25 at the most. But we've already talked about this. The rookie standard, you don't go over 25 passes. But tonight, I feel like so much of a run emphasis tonight, it shouldn't be over 20 tonight. 21 maximum.
Wow.
And that's including the screen game.
It's blackjack.
Game and
we're playing blackjack
else.
Tonight with Josh Rosen. Okay.
But if you go over that, you will go out. So I think that's where you have to kind of keep this game plan. It needs to be so. It's a short week as well. So you got a Thursday night football game, and that's where most of the successful teams, when you go on a short week at home, it's run ball management that wins those games. When you think about the 60% home win average, it's because those teams have run the ball successfully in those short weeks.
You know, it's an amazing thing, but I was thinking about the quarterbacks and what quarterback might actually be under more pressure than the other
Case
tonight.
Keenum.
And you know
what,
Doug Lisi?
Yes.
It's a crazy thing to say. It really is, because you know the rookie is a rookie, and Josh Rosen, and oh my goodness, that's Vaughn Miller and Bradley Chubb, and you know, it can get a little hairy for a rookie. But I think you're right. I think it is Case Keenum that is under more of the you better produce, you better perform, or else.
Because I think
that's amazing.
If Rosen struggles tonight, we're all going to say, rookie, it's okay. Mm-hmm. We're going to say, well, look at your offensive line against Chubb and Von Miller. Then people are going to blame Mike McCoy, whether you like it or not, Wolf. I mean, there's going to be so many excuses.
Do your job.
And I say excuses in this time, not as an attack, for why Josh Rosen would struggle, that it becomes okay. With Case Keenum, it's, we just signed you to a major free agent contract, and you have more interceptions than touchdowns.
Yeah.
And now, against a team that's this bad, you couldn't even get us a win. Why should we go further? There's a ton of pressure on Case Keenum to keep his job, while with Josh Rosen, it's just pressure to stay better than Josh Allen, you know, and he's going to be fine.
Yeah, and I think when you look at this, a lot of jobs are on the line over there in Denver, more so than just Case Keenum. And if I'm the Cardinals, and yes, Mike McCoy is under fire, so to speak, from our perception, but it's just about playing a smart game, like we talked about, eliminating those mental errors in the game, eliminating costly drops in this game. keep the game plan simple and execute at a high level is the theme that they have to go into this game, especially coming on a short week. It should not be an extensive Sunday playbook that should be available to them. It should be a very condensed, a very, this is what we do well, and this is how we're going to do it, and we're just going to put some window dressing on it with different formations, different types of motions to get to the same thing. And we have to go out and execute. Because I look at Denver, two of their offensive linemen are on IR.
Yes.
So they're playing with backups. So our defense should be roasting this team when it comes to passing down situations. Get them into third and medium, third and long situations, and allow the defense to penetrate and sack. That's what they do exceptionally well. But they have to tone down the run dimension. You have to get that 5.3 yards a catch per carry down.
Max, I've been talking about this being maybe the shortest game in the history of the NFL. Facetiously, of course, actually saying it, because I do believe we're going to see that. I do believe we're going to see both teams line up. And the team tonight, here's a prediction for you right now. The team tonight that blocks and tackles better than the other team is going to win the game. Blocking and tackling. You know how fundamental that is to the game of football, right?
That is
it
the
just
root.
Is. It's the game of football, blocking and tackling. And yet the team that blocks and tackles the best tonight is going to win this game, period. Don't tell me about takeaways. Don't tell me about what's your third down percentage. Don't tell me about the red zone. Don't tell me about running the ball on tell me who blocks better and who tackles better, period.
And I'll go one step further. Time of possession is king.
Which in today's NFL and today's football universe never matters anymore.
No, doesn't. But tonight.
But it does. Tonight.
It's like we're reverting back to the good old days of football.
Yes.
You know?
Tonight is the night time of possession matters.
Yes, it is. Because, like you said, if your time of possession is high tonight, that means you're blocking, you're tackling, and you're running the football exceptionally well.
Correct.
And that's what it leads to. It's a direct correlation.
So you want to see time of possession, and there's three things for Wolf. You want to see blocking, tackling, and creativity, right? Because you're big on creativity.
Do your job.
Oh, I see. Coming up next from the Auction Community Studios, which games are a must-watch this weekend in college football and the NFL? A guy who does color commentary for television and radio networks on college football and the NFL is Max Starks. He'll tell you what you have to see next on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
Our guy.
I got. Every Tuesday and Thursday, you get Maximum Football with Super Bowl winning offensive lineman Max Starks live in the Auction Community Studios with us. The Von Miller statements about kicking butt were actually announced, or he made those comments after Max Starks left this Tuesday. So we'll get into that in about 15 minutes here on the Doug and Wolf Show about Max's reactions to who Von Miller is talking to and how should the Cardinals respond to it. But let's go national. Let's go National Football League. We're paying attention to Cardinals Broncos tonight.
Yeah.
Once Sunday comes around, what are you paying attention to?
I got two games Sunday that I'm going to have my eyes peeled on. New Orleans Baltimore, I think, is going to be a very good game. I think for both of those teams, this will be a statement game for both of them. They're both 4-2.
Right. Yep.
And both of them are vying for that number two spot in their respective conferences and to show their legitimacy. You know, you look at New Orleans, slow start, but they've just come on fire as of late. And I think that's where they're riding a four-game win streak. Baltimore's continuing to try and separate themselves and the AFC North because the AFC North is very tight.
Mm-hmm.
And so you have to kind of pull ahead. The Steelers have finally woken up. They beat Cincy. And now they're back in that hunt. They're a game and a half behind, you know, Baltimore. So Baltimore has to create separation if they want to win that division and have a shot. And I think they have the best game. And then the second game I'm looking at is going to be Sunday Night Football. And this game,
Bengals at Kansas City.
Bengals KC, because I think KC and Cincinnati are both smarting after their losses.
Mm-hmm.
You know, KC goes into Foxborough. They come back, they tie it up. They're like, hey, we got a shot at this, but we scored too soon. Tom Brady's Tom Brady. The reason why he's that four-letter word.
Unbelievable.
And you see that. So they're going to defend their house. And then Cincinnati trying to still prove that they're a good team, even though they lost in the last waning seconds of that game against Pittsburgh at home. They have to show their legitimacy, and they have to try and stake their claim as well. So I think both of those games, even though I know it's AFC North football, both of those games, there's a reason why one gets flexed out and the other one's the prime time. Yeah.
I love that Sunday night game because I'm wondering about – I think the Chiefs are winning, but I wonder, do the Chiefs beat the Bengals or do the Steelers – or do the Bengals lose to the Steelers again? You know, yeah. Because of the way they lost the week before, I think that's going to be helped that it's that good of an opponent and on Sunday night football. I think that really plays to the Bengals because the way they lost to the Steelers, if it would have been a noon game on the road against a weak opponent, I'm kind of thinking they might stumble twice, but at least they're playing somebody that's going to get their full attention.
When you watch the Kansas City Chiefs play, do you continue to say to yourself, this is the week the wheels fall off for Patrick Mahomes? Do you say, I mean, the kid is so young and so good. That's so young. It's such a young age. It is staggering to watch him actually go out and do what he's been able to do.
Well, and think about this. He had such a bad first half against New England.
Yes.
And then
left at least 14 points on the board, and maybe more.
And then goes in at halftime, receives the adjustments, correlates that into success. His second half was absolutely phenomenal.
Phenomenal.
In a game that should have been, quote-unquote, put away by New England, he threw them back into that game. So, like you said, when are the wheels going to fall off? I don't know, but this kid has responded to adversity better than any other young guy I've seen.
And for the record, the last time I said that about a quarterback, it was Kurt Warner, right? In the greatest show on turf when he first filled in for Trent Green. And I said, this is it. This is the week the wheels fall off for this Warner kid. And every week, Kurt Warner went out and lit it up.
Yeah.
Now,
yeah.
When you were Max, if you just tuned in, Max Starks, who is a Super Bowl winning offensive lineman with the Pittsburgh Steelers, is joining Doug and Wolf every Tuesday and Thursday for Maximum Football. When you mentioned the college game, what do you think about this big struggle, Bowling Green at Ohio?
Yeah, I have to say that is not on my list of things to watch on Facebook.
Oh, you know what? Before you get rolling on big national games, what do you think of tonight? What do you think of ASU and Stanford?
You know, I think it's going to be a good game.
Yeah?
I mean, ASU, they had such a phenomenal start to the season, kind of beat everybody's expectations.
Yeah.
And then kind of now it's starting to sink in. Teams are starting to game plan. They have more film out on what this team is, and it's making it tougher for them. So, but I think on the transverse side, Stanford's not the Stanford that we've seen of past.
Absolutely.
That's kind of haunted ASU and stopped any type of true success. So I think this is going to be a very tight football game. I give the edge to ASU in my mind because I just think that they're at home. It's that Thursday night football. It's always uncharacteristic, especially at the college level, when you play on Thursday night.
Good
point. So that visiting team has to adjust to that, whereas the home team goes about their business and they get to stay at home. It's something that's said about being at home, especially as a college kid. Because it's different when you get to the pros. You have to adjust to that. You're paid to do that. But as a college kid, it is a bit unnerving, 18, 19. Like, oh, I got a game during the week, not on the weekend. I mean, like, there's school tomorrow? And I think that's where
gonna
that's going to play.
I'm going to miss some classes.
Yeah, they're probably.
Hey, did somebody send it to my professor that I'm going to be late?
I'm not going to make that 8:20.
It's funny you guys say that because Josh Rosen actually talked about it. Josh Rosen was asked about playing on a Thursday night, and he goes, well, we did it at UCLA, but it was always cool because we got to miss some classes.
That's right.
And now he's like, now that's completely different. You know, there's a lot of good games college football wise. Not a lot of just unbelievable great games, but there's a lot of good ones. What else are you looking at college football wise?
Well, my one main game, I mean, come on, the battle for the mitten, Michigan State. I don't even know what their college rivalry game's called, but, you know, Michigan's a mitten. So I just dubbed
the
it that.
The battle for the mitten. That was pretty good right there.
Yeah. I mean, I like what Michigan's been doing. Finally, after the first week, you know, you lose to Notre Dame.
But only by a touchdown.
Only by a touchdown. And then we find out, at this point, Notre Dame's pretty darn good.
Yeah.
So it's like, that's a quality loss if you're going to take it, and you took it early in the year.
Right.
So to come in here, it's two top 25 teams that are playing. They're going into Sparty Town, and I think Michigan wins that game, but I want to see that game. I think that's probably my top game of the weekend because I've looked through the rest of them. There's nothing else that really interests me, you know, because you look at the Pac-12 schedule, and outside of this game tonight, I mean, Washington, Colorado, I'm not really feeling Colorado.
Hey, game day's going to Pullman for Oregon, Washington State.
Yeah, once again, yeah, Wazoo versus O State.
Yeah.
Go Beavers.
Oh, boy.
No, it's not the Beavers. It's Oregon.
Oh, Oregon. Sorry. Yeah, Ducks. I get confused. I apologize. I'm looking at both of these, and Oregon State's playing Cal, which is pretty bad.
Yeah.
I think when you look at it, there's some okay games, but that's really the biggest game of this weekend. The SEC doesn't really have any challenging games. Alabama, Tennessee. I'm not watching that one.
Yeah, that one's
because that's going to be a bloodbath.
It's going to be bad.
I can't wait to see. I am excited about Mississippi State LSU because Mississippi State is good enough to beat the best in the country, and they're bad enough at times to lose to some of the worst teams in the country. They're really up and down. But if they take LSU down, that's another opening into the college football playoff. Because I'm not saying LSU's in, but if LSU wins out, they 100% are in. Despite their lost to somebody that's weak, and I can't remember who it is.
Yeah, you know who it was. The team that's better than them. My Gators.
Oh, that's right.
No. Don't say that's right. You know what it is.
All right, that might have been a setup.
But here's the thing, though. I think LSU, for all of their good intentions, I still don't see them as a team that can be in the playoff.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when I think of where they're at, they're already at 9 with one loss. I don't think they beat Alabama. So that's two losses.
Yeah, yeah.
And then if you then lose to Mississippi State.
Do you think there's anybody that can beat Alabama?
I think Ohio State on all cylinders would be the best option.
I just do not see it.
Yeah, that's the closest, because I think if you're Ohio State, you can control the foot, you can possess the football against Alabama, and I think that's how you get around it. Is you have to possess that football and play keep away for that type of team. It's almost like Kansas City. You have to play keep away with them and force them into a lull so that they aren't firing all cylinders.
You know what's funny about that is the fact that you say you have to keep the football away from them. Alabama has scored a touchdown on the opening drive of every game this year. Every single game.
Do you know how difficult that is to do?
Every single game. Well, the other team's had a week to stop you to get ready for this one drive. They've got a touchdown at the beginning of every single game.
And scripted all of this.
Yes. Pretty impressive. Coming up next, how about this? Max Starks is getting ready for a game with the Pittsburgh Steelers. He's an offensive tackle, and he now hears that the other guy lined up across from him 4 days before the game has said,
"We're going to go out there and we're going to kick the ass."
Oh,
yeah.
Block that guy, Max. What would your take be? That's next on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.